Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Terry Wiese delivers this week's message.
And you may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Crossbridge. We're so glad you chose today to worship with us, and we're glad that you're here. It's a great day to worship God. And so I'd like for you to go ahead and grab your Bible and open it to the book of Luke, chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible in the chair in front of you. Go ahead and take that Bible out and turn to Luke, chapter 11. You'll find it on page 869. And so go ahead and open to Luke, chapter 11. And we'll be looking at verses 5 through 13. Today we're going to be talking about being bold and being blameless. In this narrative, we read about Jesus gave his disciples an outline, a pattern of prayer, to pray in response to their request, Lord, teach us to pray. As we walk through these petitions, we learned a number of things. And one of the things that we learned is that in answer to the disciples' request, teach us to pray, Jesus took his disciples to the Bible. That is, all of the petitions that he gave them, all of the portions of that prayer came right out of God's holy word. So one of the things that we learned is the Bible has the answer to all our problems. It is sufficient for all our needs. It's sufficient for our problems, for our struggles. It is sufficient in every case in our life. This book is complete. We also learned that Jesus, in a marvelous way, in the outline of his prayer, gave us the five petitions of the Lord's Prayer as they were recorded in Luke chapter 11. Our Lord started by telling us that God wants to be called Father. And he wants to be called Father in the most intimate sense. And our Lord instructs us that's how we're to pray to him, Father. And then he lays out five petitions. In the first petition, he lays out, Father, hallowed be thy name. It means to be set apart or sacred as holy. God's name not only refers to how we are to address God, but the whole person of God. It refers to all his attributes and actions as revealed in the scripture. It taught us that living a life that hallows God begins in our heart. It involves a constant awareness of God's presence. A truth that David expressed in Psalm 16, verse 8, where he says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Then he proceeds to the second petition, which is your kingdom come. It taught us that I must be in submission to the lordship of Christ. I cannot pray about even the most of basic matters until I first have yielded my own selfish will that's stubborn to the rightful reign of the Lord in my heart. He continues with the third petition where Jesus said, give us each day our daily bread. He taught us that we are to live simply in dependence on God, not trusting in our own resources. And we should remember that the reason we ask God to supply our needs is not so that we will be happy or prosperous or wealthy, but so that we can seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then the Lord leads us now to the fourth petition where he says, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. It is here that Jesus ties in our forgiveness before God with our forgiving those who have wronged us. The idea here is if we who are sinful can forgive others, then surely God who is perfect will forgive us if we come to him in repentance. And that leaves us with the fifth petition. And lead us not into temptation. Here Jesus taught us that we should cultivate the attitude of fleeing from every situation where we might fall into sin. The idea is far from God leading us into temptation, because he cannot do that according to James. He doesn't tempt us. But God would lead us in his ways of righteousness where we would be kept from sin. It has been paraphrased, Lord, if the occasion of sinning presents itself, grant that the desire may not be found in me. And if the desire is found within me, grant that the occasion may not present itself. Now, I want you to notice in that pattern of prayer that God's glory and our needs are all wrapped up into one prayer. And what that means is there's not a part of this prayer that focuses only on God's glory or only on our interest or only on God's interest in us. It's all wrapped up together in one prayer given in the Lord's Prayer. So even when we begin to pray, give us each day our daily bread, it is the Lord who is the source of the daily bread that we're asking for. And his glory is magnified in the provision that the bread, in the provision of that bread to us. And our interests are taken care of in the magnification of his glory and the provision of that bread that he gives to us. And so one of the magnificent things that we learn from Jesus' pattern of prayer is it's impossible to glorify God without your own best interest being taken care of by God. And it's impossible for God to glorify himself without his amazing love and goodness and generosity at the same time cultivating your own best interest. But one of the things that Jesus is teaching us here is that when we seek God's glory, God is always concerned about our best interest, even though we may not think he is. In fact, that's one of the points he's going to tell us about in this passage, the one that we're studying this morning. And so I would like for you to open to Luke chapter 11, and as I read verses 5 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 5. And he said to them, which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed and I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of the impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus isn't done with prayer here. He has a pattern of prayer. He has given us this pattern of prayer to his disciples to pray in response to their request, Lord, teach us to pray. But now he wants to urge them on to the importance of prayer through these two parables that are connected by a promise of God. Two parables connected by a promise of God. So Jesus wants them and wants us today to learn to plead, to implore God, to beg God in prayer. He doesn't want us to stop saying, God, please save my spouse. God, you know my wayward child who's drifted away into drugs or into immorality or has run away. God, I pray, God, that you would bring them back. Or God, please take hold of this marriage that is faltering. It's on a brink of disaster. God, bring it back together. The relationship with my neighbors, God, restore it. The coworker that's really struggling and gives me a hard time, God, help me. Help me with this. And if we have stopped praying, he wants us to start again. Jesus wants us to believe. And this is the most challenging thing I may say to you today, that Jesus wants us to understand that God's answer to all our prayers is always yes. That he always answers our prayers. But there's a caveat to this yes. So let's look at the importance of being bold in our prayers as he teaches us through the parable. And so we begin in the parable here. It's a story that we're going to start with behind the parable. Jesus sets the scene when he says, which of you? The phrase is structured in the Greek so as to really make the hearer and the reader the fictional subject of the parable. And so the Lord's prayer purposely challenges the disciples to pray the prayer of Jesus with faith and trust of Jesus. So you see now this parable is building upon the Lord's prayer, teaching us that we're not only to be eager in prayer, but persevering in prayer, not giving up, not quitting, until God answers our prayers. Jesus is pushing them to be bold, to be shameless. And so as we look at the scene here, in the Middle East, people sometimes would travel at night really to avoid the heat of the day. And if a neighbor receives a surprise visitor at midnight, he has to make a choice. Either be a poor host to his guest by letting him go to bed hungry, or be a poor neighbor to his friend by waking him up at midnight. So Jesus asked his disciples this question. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, loan me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And the parable tells of a man who goes to his friend's house in the middle of the night to tell him that a guest has just arrived and there isn't any food in the house to feed him. To feed his guest. And so we understand that this man is going to his neighbor in the middle of the night, and he says to his neighbor, I have nothing to set before him. And the reason why he's gone to his neighbor is it's a matter of cultural honor in the Middle Eastern culture to be a good host to your guest. And so this man is putting at risk his friendship with his neighbor in order to feed his guest and to give him a bed to sleep at night. But listen to the neighbor's response to his request. It says in verse 7 and verse 8, "And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Jesus is pressing the issue of the importance of persevering. The necessity to feed his guest drives this man to be bold and shameless. Necessity drives bold prayer. When things happen, it drives us to our knees to pray. When we get the word from the oncologist that we have cancer, it drives us to a need. The necessity drives bold prayer. But the problem is, even in the midst of our necessity, we have lost the art of being bold and shameless, even to the point of not even praying anymore. Because we have come to an attitude of, whatever, God's not going to do anything. We've given up on God so many times. And some of it's because he doesn't answer the way we want it to be answered. And other times we're just tired of waiting on him. And sometimes he says yes, and so we forget to pray to him. So we have lost this art of praying and being consistent and persistent and prevailing with him in prayer. This man had a need, and he didn't have the resources. He didn't have the resources to meet that need. And it's an awareness of great needs and our own lack of resources to meet the needs that will drive us to prayer, that will drive us to bold prayer. All too often, we fail to pray because we assume our own sufficiency and competence will meet that need. We are wrong when we think that we can get by with just a little boost from God. The fact is, we're destitute of physical, mental, spiritual, emotional resources unless God graciously provides them. In every situation, we must recognize our desperate need and call upon God, and we must come boldly and shamelessly to the throne of God. And the reason why the neighbor gives him whatever he needed is summed up in this word, impudence. Means utter shamelessness. Somebody who is just brash and bold. Somebody who has a lot of nerve to wake up a neighbor in the middle of the night. Jesus gave another illustration of this impudence, of this utter shamelessness in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, where Jesus is making this similar point in this parable about a woman who begs the judge for justice. The judge renders justice in order to gain relief from her continually pleading. Jesus made persistence the theme of these two different parables to point out this importance in the relationship to prayer. And in this parable, the perseverance of this man is being stressed by the impudence. The shamelessness, which in the Greek literature has an offensive meaning. It means asking rudely, even acting rudely, to get a request at any cost. I want you to answer. And it comes without any thought of decorum or shame. My father passed away just a month ago yesterday. And he passed away on Thursday morning, and on Friday we were at the house, and my mom and I and Krista, I don't know where Matt and the rest were, but Krista came to the door, and because the doorbell rang, she went to the door, and there was a postman. The postman opened the door, grabs her left hand, and places it on his chest and says, "My heart's beating really bad. I need help. Please help me." We brought him inside, put him in a chair, gave him some aspirin, called 911, and they said, "Give him another one, let him chew it up." And they came, the ambulance came, and they took him to the hospital. 5, 6, 7, 8 days later, he comes back to my mom's house, and he says, "I want to say thank you. Because, you see, the doctors told me at the hospital that if you had not helped me, I wouldn't be here today." You see, the urgency of the moment caused him to do something that was not in particular in his character. He grabbed my daughter's hand and placed it right on his chest, said, "I'm in trouble." And that's the way we got to be with God. "God, I'm coming boldly. I need your help. I'm in trouble. I will not stop until you answer me." You see, the emphasis in our text is on approaching God with an attitude, "I will not be deterred. I'm on a mission and I need an answer." Listen to this. Prayer is not a polite religious sentiment. It's something on which people must be willing to stake their lives on. The determination not to give up until God has heard. This man asked his neighbor, "Could you please get up and lend me 3 loaves of bread?" The neighbor says that the door is locked, the children are in bed, asleep in his room. "Don't bother me." His friend keeps knocking and asking until the man gets up. Not because of friendship, but because of his prevailing, his persisting, his persevering, knocking and asking. And you know what? This isn't really a very attractive image of prayer, but this is the way prayer is. Jesus clearly wants us to be like this man who kept knocking, who didn't stop, who didn't quit praying because he wasn't being answered at that moment. He wants us to prevail in prayer, and we know that because he made a promise to us. And the promise is found in verse 9. "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." Now, Jesus' teaching on prayer in verses 9 and 10 is not simply repeating what has been recorded in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 and 13, or Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. No, Jesus infuses it with his authority. "I tell you." It's emphatic in the Greek, telling us of the importance of the teacher in understanding prayer. You must know the teacher to understand prayer. And Jesus now presents us with a promise by his own authority. "I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be open." So Jesus commands us to keep asking, to keep on pursuing, to keep on knocking. Don't hesitate to be bold. Don't be embarrassed to be shameless. Then he says, "Ask." That's kind of on the first level, like, "Hey, God, it's me. And I got a really big problem, and I need your help. I have a really great need." But it elevates in the word "seek." That means in the Greek to strive after or to demand. And it comes like this: "God, I'm telling you, you've got to listen to me. You've got to watch what's going on here. Don't be distracted. I need your help. I'm helpless here. I have this urgent need. And then it goes from ask and seek, each step stepping a little more powerful, to knock. And now that's you at the gates of heaven. And you've got that battering ram, and you're banging on that door going into the Holy of Holies. You're banging on it, and you're not reluctant to ask or get aggressive to batter on heaven's door until it's opened. Did you ever think about prayer like that? It really is just amazing that James says in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, you have not because you don't ask. Or you ask to consume it on your lust. Or you ask double-minded, believing but not really believing. Or you ask out of disobedient heart and you've forgotten that it's God that hears the prayers of those who are obedient to his commands. Or so, or you say, wait a minute, I thought this was a blank check. Can't you just ask, seek, knock, and you'll receive? I mean, after all, that's what verse 10 says. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. But this isn't a blank check. It's already been qualified by the Lord's Prayer in verses 2 through 4. Here's how you pray: Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And so it's always according to God's name, according to God's kingdom, according to God's will that we ask. God says you can start whispering if you want to through the wall. Or you can raise your voice and begin to make demands. Or you can even batter the door with a battering ram if you want to. I tell you this, when you ask, you'll receive. And when you seek, you will find. And when you knock, it will be open to you. And I will open the door. And what a great statement that is. However, he qualifies that promise with two questions. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent, a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? In this second parable, Jesus offers up two hypothetical questions to his disciples and to those listening and for us today. Now, here's the story with the questions. Here's your kid. And he's saying, Daddy, I want a fish. Here, son, here's a snake. It'll bite you and it'll hurt you, but it's okay, take it. Then your child says, Daddy, I want an egg for breakfast. Oh, son, here's a scorpion. Go ahead and play with it. That'll do you. What's the point? The point is that the father doesn't give bad gifts to his children. He loves his children. Fathers, that's something really for you to think about. Sometimes the greatest gift that you can give your children or your child is this: no, I'm not going to give you what you want because it's not what you need. Moms, I know that whenever you're in the store and that you're committed to giving your children the best because you love them. And so when you're at the checkout line and your child says, Mommy, I really want that big bag of M&M peanuts. You know, the 2-pounder size. And you love them so much that you give it to them, right? No. All that sugar is going to produce energy that I don't have energy enough to keep up with that energy. You give them the answer they need because you love them, but not the answer that they want. And you know, this illustration also works the other way around too. You notice if a child asks his father, "Hey, Dad, can I have a snake?" The father doesn't give him something that can bite him and hurt him. If a child asks his father for a scorpion, the father doesn't give him what's going to hurt him because the father's gifts are good. And so Jesus is saying, God's answers are always good, even when you can't see it. He is always answering your prayers, yes, but for your good. I love the way that John Calvin stated it. God does not answer our prayers as we pray them, but as we would pray them if we were wiser. Chew on that for a moment. Verse 13 gives us the answer. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Jesus says to his disciples, I want you to get a picture of it. He's speaking to his disciples. If you then who are evil, it's a pretty strong language calling your disciples evil. Well, what Jesus meant, as long as you're living in this fallen world, even you disciples will have an evil bent that spoils everything that you do, but it doesn't keep you from doing good. The point is that human fathers who are evil still know how to give good gifts to their children. It's natural for the fathers to love their children and provide for their children and to be kind to them. But here's the key. How much more will God, who is absolutely holy, who loves perfectly and has infinite wisdom to know what is best to give to his children? So how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Jesus specifies that the Holy Spirit, who being God, is the greatest good we could imagine. And while all who truly believe in Christ receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, Romans chapter 6 and chapter 8 and verse 9, we all need to know more and more of the Spirit's fullness in our daily walk, surrendering to the Spirit of God to not follow after our own lust and desires, but to follow after God. And whatever our needs, our greatest need is to be filled continually with the God Spirit. So when Jesus instructs us to come as needy children and ask the Father to pour out His Spirit upon us, it's the best gift. It's better than M&M peanuts. It's better than that new car. It's better than a promotion. It's better than that new house that you want to have. But God wants us to be bold and blameless when we come to Him in prayer. And so, let me ask you this question. Are you in need of bold prayer? As the praise team comes, are you in need of bold prayer? God's not like the neighbor in our text who was bothered and said, "Go away. God is different. He's so generous. So don't dishonor God by doubting His generosity. Don't doubt God by His ability to not be distracted, but be devoted and listening to every word and prayer that you pray. Go to Him in the middle of your night and know you will never be able to interrupt Him. He delights that you're there. He delights that you come to Him and hold Him to His promises, to be persistent, demand that He listen and give you what is best. Because here's the truth of it. Necessity drives bold prayer. Problem is, many of you have not even thought about praying in a long time. Maybe this whole week you haven't even prayed it once. But then all comes this necessity, and all of a sudden you're just all over the place. God wants you to come to Him, but He also wants you to commune with Him on a daily basis. Saying, Father, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us as we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation. God, I want to walk with You. Some of you right now are struggling, and you have lost your faith in God's ability to answer your prayers because you don't pray. You've been distracted by the other things. You've run out of a list of people to run to. You lost your job, and so you're going on LinkedIn and you're going to Facebook and trying to find people who know people to get you the job, when the greatest link in the world is to God. We don't go to Him. So when you're crying, Lord, I beg You, and you fill in the blank, and the Lord is not responding, He's saying, child, you have no idea what you're asking for. I'm not going to answer that prayer the way that you want me to answer that prayer. But here's my answer, child. You will have the Holy Spirit. You will be blessed. You will be kept. You will be given grace. You will be given peace. You will be given the communion with the Father and with the Son and with the Spirit. And all I give you is something better than what you're asking for. The answer is always going to be yes. It's just not always the yes that you are wanting. It's the yes that you need. This is what Jesus wants you to see. Be expectant. God is going to answer this prayer, but if you need to, batter the doors of heaven. But don't quit. Be persistent. Be bold. Be shameless. But don't quit. He's going to answer that prayer with what is best. So let me plead with you not to stop praying, because you don't think it's working, because you're not getting what you prayed for, because it's not turning out like you expected or hoped it would. And Jesus is saying, don't stop praying. Start praying again. Be bold and shameless. Jesus commanded us to keep on asking. Keep on pursuing. Keep on knocking. Don't hesitate to be bold. Don't be embarrassed to be shameless in the presence of God with your prayer request. So would you stand with me? I challenge you, as we all stand together, I challenge you this morning to come to a place like here, or maybe in where you're standing or sitting, and begin to cry out to God, begin to beseech the throne of God and saying, God, I need You. I am in trouble. I have struggles. I have this problem. I have all kinds of needs, and I'm not going to stop this time until You answer with what's best for me. So as the praise team sings, would you come?
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.